This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue here. All Marine Radio. Joining me is a friend, a colleague, been on the program before. Former, and I say that when I say former, I know, so don't send me the goddamn email. Man, there's no such thing as former Marines. I got the memo, man. No longer on active duty. Gunner Sergeant Wayne Bowie. He joins the program, just got his degree in graphic design from San Diego State. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you kindly, sir.
All right. So now that you're a full-up adult, where is life? Are you going to make San Diego your home? Is the job market good down there? What's going on?
Yeah, there are opportunities in my field. But, you know, of course, the challenge is seeking out and finding and getting in where you fit in.
Right.
But currently, I'm an intern at the Media Arts Center of San Diego.
Is that a big deal to be an intern there? I mean, your internships are competitive, yes?
Yes. But I got a spot. I got a roster spot, and I'm learning quite a bit. You know, nothing beats experience. I mean, you know, San Diego State was obviously instrumental in instruction, you know, so you can get your degree. But, you know, of course, we all lack that experience. So the internship, you know, they take us under their wing and nurse us along, so to speak. So it's been a nice experience so far.
Do you like it? I mean, it's a slight difference from being a infantry gunnery sergeant, graphic design, a little bit different cosmos that you're in. What's that like? I mean, obviously a big, or is it? Is it a big cultural difference?
It's huge. It's night and day, obviously. But a lot of the planning, communication being key, obviously working with a group of people. And then, of course, once people learn my background, you know, they want to, you know, I don't make a big deal out of being a retired Marine, but, you know, once they see that on my resume or learn that about me, then it just takes this different dynamic sometimes, you know, just tell them, calm down, you know.
Everybody just be cool. Like Fonzie. So that's always a big deal. And then you don't tell them you're a combat veteran, though, do you?
No, I'm.
Yeah, don't tell them that, because everybody says that they want to hire vets, but that scares them a little bit.
Yeah, it does. But when that comes out, you know, because once they have a genuine interest in knowing a little bit about me, you know, I'll let them know, because obviously they'll ask, oh, you know, have you been to Afghanistan? Have you been to Iraq? And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been there. You know, just lighten the mood a little bit. You know, certain questions get inappropriate, I think, right, in my opinion.
Right. Do they go there after a while?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That amazes me.
Yeah. And I ask them, too. And I kind of flip the script on them a little bit. And, you know, I ask them, so you meet a police officer. Do you ask them? Do they kill people, or have they killed anyone? And, of course, they're like, well, no. I'm like, okay. But, you know, yeah, I appreciate you asking.
I appreciate your interest.
Right. But then I lay it down out for them. I was like, you ever heard of Fallujah? And they're like, where? I was like, you never heard of Fallujah in Iraq? oh, no, no. I was like, well, go Google it. Go Google it, and then come talk to me.
Do they come back, or do they say, leave him alone?
Yeah, they let it lie. They let it lie.
You know what? That surprised me 3 years ago when I started talking to people about work, and they said, yeah, you know, I've been probably the most qualified person, I think, for maybe two or three different jobs, but I didn't get it. And I straight up think that, you know, it was because that I'm a veteran, and specifically I'm a combat veteran, and that scares people. You know, and you know the whole PTSD thing, and if it comes up and you're honest and you say you've been to Iraq or Afghanistan, they're afraid, and I think that's why I didn't get hired. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, but you got an easygoing personality. You don't make any sudden movements around them, do you?
No, I'm pretty mild mannered. The only time people. And I won't say they're on edge, but when I do start talking about my career in the Marine Corps, people can see the passion in my voice when I talk about it, and they'll bring that up. They're like, "Wow, you know, I can tell you really enjoyed your career because just the way you talk about it." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I mean, I was there 20 years and 28 days."
How can you not enjoy it? It's fun, right? All the gifted people you're around, doing fun things, going to crazy places. It's awesome,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, I wanted to have you on. We've been having a discussion here about a lot of it comes from my sons, right? I have a son who's a lieutenant in the 1st Marine Division, infantry officer. I have another one who's a captain, infantry officer now at the basic school as an instructor. And the stories they'll tell me about the world that they lead in now are pretty interesting stories. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
It seems to me, though, a common theme is that we have so defanged, declawed, whatever term you want to use, specifically our sergeants and our staff sergeants, that something punitive is write an essay. In the Marine Corps, right? We're not talking about third grade. We're talking about the Marine Corps that exists down there at Camp Pendleton and shit. So I hear that and I'm thinking that's stunning to me. That's absolutely stunning to me. And so, I get this email the other day. Hey, what I want to know is, I haven't heard from Gunny Boy in how long? Like 9 months. Not even, hey, Mac, what's up, man? Hey, it was just straight in with, what I want to know is. So I wanted to have you on and talk about what you want to know, but I also want to get your thoughts on leadership at the staff sergeant level where you're, you know, hands on every day. Have we made that job so difficult for those guys? I mean, in my opinion, it's crazy what they have to do now.
Well, I mean, and when you kind of glossed over that, 'cause this whole essay thing, I'm like, wow. It's kind of new to me a little bit hearing that, but if that's what's taking place, and I'm just going to say from the enlisted side, obviously, a sergeant, okay, but that platoon sergeant, that's his fault or her fault, as I can understand nowadays, they're females, in the infantry area. I'm going to say it's the enlisted's fault for letting that happen.
Explain that. What do you mean?
Well, and of course, you know, I'm going to sound like an old fogey, but for instance, when I was a platoon sergeant, you had tools in place to correct measures. Like for instance, at Camp Lejeune,
There you go.
You had if you had a knucklehead, a problem child, you had CCU. You can send them to the correctional custody unit. It's the step before you can send them to the brig if they're that much of a problem. But they go there, break rocks.
But you can play fuck-fuck, though, right?
Well, yes. In the field, yes.
In garrison? I mean, Staff Sergeant's Beautification Program? It all kind of, I mean, you had tools at your disposal, and he belonged to you, right?
Yes, 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 he did. But also, the caveat off of that, sir, is, you know, having a first sergeant behind you, you know, explaining what your corrective measures were going to be. And, of course, you know, for the platoon sergeant, doing your little point paper about it. And just having a first sergeant that's supportive behind you with corrective measures like that. For instance, in my platoon, I had a couple problem children that were acting up in the field when we got back, you know, and it was heading into a long weekend, a 72, something of that nature. And they thought they were going to, you know, gallop out of town for the weekend. But, oh, no, I hooked them up over there at the pot shack at the chow hall during that weekend, scrubbing pots. But again, you know, able to write that out for the first sergeant, and the first sergeant more or less blessing it and making it happen.
So what it took was that considered EMI?
Yes, it would be considered EMI.
But you didn't have to stay and supervise it, though, did you?
No, I did roll in there to make sure they were at their point of place of duty. And, of course, this was at the time when the Marine Corps was doing that at the chow halls. You would have, like, a master sergeant over there for money, and then the rest were contractors. But I'd link up with the Marine, whoever that was, and it was in Camp Lejeune at the time. It was a master sergeant. And let them, you know, hey, do you have a problem with, you know, you're going to have two getting their scuba bubble over there back there scrubbing pots and pans. And he, you know, he rogered up. He had no problem with it. And like I said, I mean, I lived off base, but I, you know, being a good staff NCO, I'd roll in there, make sure they checked in, make sure they were at their point of place of duty.
Now, it seems to me we now even we're afraid to do that anymore. We have got to the point where we're afraid to do that kind of stuff. And because to me what we used to do, and this is where this concept of I made the comment, like, that's the same disciplinary authority that a second grader has, a second grade teacher has. Write me an essay, right? I thought, well, as long as we're doing school, why don't we have detention, right? The CO, the XO, the first sergeant, and the company gunny, one of those four would take attendance every day. It starts at 1700 or whenever we sound the recall. It goes for 3 hours, no electronic devices, right? You can come in. If you have SA to work on, you can do that. You can do MCIs, or you can participate in the first sergeant's beautification program. Right? But it's designed, I'm going to waste your time. I'm not going to have a staff sergeant or a sergeant stay here. He didn't need to be punished because you can't do what you're supposed to do. And we're talking about, and the stuff that we're talking about is just the basic bullshit of being a Marine. Being on time, being in the appropriate uniform, and have it look appropriate, right? Being squared away, having the shit that you're supposed to have on a daily basis. Right, being able to curb that stuff, because the way we got taught the discipline when you and I were young, and I older than you, but hey, we paid attention to Irish penance, we paid attention to chicken shit, and if we didn't, somebody wore our ass out, and that made us into attention to detail, right, punctual people. And that's how we grew up. And if you don't correct that shit, I don't know how it works. I don't know if you can, if you're going to be late for formation and you send a text and that's good. How does the organization run? I don't get it. And so to me, that's where this whole, I had my company detention idea came from. Because it's institutionalized fuck. EMI, God, every time I'm gonna make you scrub pots. I got to write the whole son of a bitch up. I got to come in and supervise the whole thing. Well, hell, I don't, just because people are fucking up, I don't want to wreck my dinner with my family. Now, I will, but can't we, as Marines, think of something that we can do? And then, if you don't have that kind of discipline, how do you expect, now we talk about, you know, peer-to-peer combat, you know, greater decentralization, that, you know, that sergeant's going to have more authority. He's going to have his iPad calling in, like, B-52 strikes and shit, right? And we, right? But we won't let him yoke somebody's ass up and teach him how to be a better Marine. It doesn't fit together to me.
And I agree with what you said, sir, but again, I just want to hark back to from the enlisted side. I mean, that sacrifice needs to be made for upper supervision to make it happen. I mean, yeah.
So you're talking about Sergeant Major, First Sergeant, they've got to push this stuff down. They've got to get behind it and push this stuff down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if it's not happening, do you think then it's been communicated to them that don't go there by the guys they work for? And so, hey, look, I'm not risking my career. And I'll give you an example. Between 06 and 07, you know, cleanups going on, blah, 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 blah. You know, Lance Corporal McNamara's up doing his shit. Staff Sergeant Bowie's supervising him, and all of a sudden we go down, you know, we have some free time, we're all our shit's done. We go to formation. McNamara doesn't show up for formation, so Bowie goes looking for him. Comes into my room, I'm laying on my bed asleep, grabs me by the blouse and says, "Let's go, genius." Boom, out the door we go. After formation, I walk into the company office and say, "He put his hands on me. I want him charged with assault." Now, that's a true fucking story.
Okay.
And so my point is, the inmates, they think they run the asylum now. And that to me is like, how do you get the ship right? And here's another one. If you, as a staff sergeant, or let's put you as a corporal, when your staff sergeant, when you got new joins, and your staff sergeant looked at everybody and said, "Nobody fucks with them." Did anybody fuck with them?
No.
Why not?
No, because you knew if you avoided that or transgressed what staff sergeant said, it was going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, it's going to be your ass, right?
You were going to pay. You were going to pay a price. And, you know, and obviously, and, you know, I'm not naive to, you know, I've been away from the Marine Corps for 4 years now, but, you know, yes, that issue of hazing and kind of the things you're talking about. But again, sir, if we had some sergeant majors, first, the upper echelon, enlisted wise, you know, just laying it down in an orderly fashion, this is how you will take care of this.
Then it happens.
It will happen. It will happen. But, like, you know, like you're saying, but, you know, people want to CYA cover your ass and just let it happen. That's not the answer. That's definitely not the answer. And that's why I like how you put it. The inmates are running the show.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, my son and I were talking. And he said, the same thing went on when you were a lieutenant. You just don't know. You just forgot or never knew about it. I said, bullshit, man. I said, let me tell you the difference. You want to know where I saw blood striping the first time? On the grinder after formation. We did it out in front of God and everybody. Company First Sergeant standing there. Company CO standing there. Lieutenant standing there. Staff NCO standing there. And if you pulled your leg back and tried to knock his femurs through next week, guess what happened to you?
What was that?
You got your shit yoked up by a senior staff NCO. What are you doing? Right? I mean, so the initiations I went through, company commanders were standing there watching it. It tended not to happen. I mean, I'm not saying that the new droids, they earn their keep, right? And yes. There were certain things. But I'll tell you what, if you would have got your new PFCs up at 2:30 in the morning and took them outside and shaved their heads and fucked with them after your staff sergeant had told you not to do it, what would have happened to old Corporal Bowie?
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah, you'd have had your ass.
Yeah.
And so they're not afraid to do it now, which is, to me, that's what it's very damning. And I'll tell you what, I think you frame it right. It's damning to the staff and COs of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, and I hate to throw, listening, but hey, I'm a civilian now. My opinion, I can express my opinion. That's what I'm loving about being a civilian now. But just looking back at it, it has a start for the enlisted up at the top, and let's come with a game plan. Let's fix it, because, you know, this senior Lance Corporal bullshit, because I used to even hate hearing that. I just used to want to crush people. I'm a senior Lance Corporal. Last I checked, that's not a rank. You know, like that gives you.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. I just used to.
Oh. Oh, yes, it is.
That I would just go high and to the right. Oh. But yet, sir, it's just Sergeant Major needs to push that trash down, and it will happen. But, you know, enlisted, we need it to come from our top echelon to fix it.
On that side.
Yeah.
Interesting. The and again, I would say this, the good sergeants, the good staff sergeants, they'll always be good. But there's a lot of guys in the middle that need some structure, and when you say, okay, look, because there was always a negative, I kind of chuckle about this. So it's all going to be positive and leadership, and there's no back of the hand, there's no wire brush, there's no fuck, there's no sandbox, there's no, like I don't know what planet that is, all right? Because even with my kids, okay, they know. There's a sandbox, there's fuck. Do you want to go there? We'll go there. That's fine. I can do that. How does it work when there are no consequences other than I got to write an essay? And then, I don't know if you know, do you know Gunnar Musselman with the 1st Marine Division? He was there when you were there. But, yeah, he said, shit, man. They probably have a whole series of essays online. They just download and copy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they do. A nice database of classes. Like, oh, an essay, no problem. Yeah. I have it to you in 10 minutes.
Here you go. There you go. And I thought, you know what? See, I'm an officer, man. I didn't even think of that. He said, oh, come on, man. There's like a Marine Corps, you know, index, the whole thing on some website. You need an essay. Here you go, man.
Right.
Here you go. But I'll tell you what. And you and I both know, if you're not disciplined, you don't fairy dust it when you're humping out to the field. Right, your shit will be ragged, and nobody fairy dusts you on the flight over, right, to wherever the hell you're going. There is no fairy dust that falls out of the overhead compartments, and now we're locked on. You're going to pay a price in blood if you have to go play. You bet your life if you're not disciplined, and that's to me the sad part about it. But that price is dead people missing pieces of body, all kinds of crazy shit.
Right, because it's not a light switch thing. It's not a light switch. Yeah.
No. Interesting. Let's talk about what you emailed me. So tell me what you listened to, and then talk to me, and then explain to everybody your comment.
Okay. You know, as an enlisted person, you know, having an opportunity to go to schools, you know, I've always thought was exciting because, you know, you're going to go away and better yourself. And then, you know, as I was a senior Marine, especially when I went when I was stationed at a headquarters Marine Corps. And I would have to make trips up to Quantico every now and then. But I saw my old company commander when I was a PFC. And he happened to be at EWS. And just kind of knew EWS was a, you know, a step up for commanders, or whatever, the little check in the box. But researching about that course, like 41 weeks. And I was like, wow, that's a long time. But, you know, at the time, I got sent to the advanced course, my little, whatever, 6 weeks of, you know, spice up the PT so your Marines don't get bored type of thing. And, but anyway, sir, I'm just amazed that as enlisted, we don't have a course like that. Because, you know, a commissioned officer, obviously you have your bachelor's degree, and then you get to further credentials onto your education that enlisted don't. And I'm just, how come enlisted don't have a super career course like that? And it just makes me wonder, because, you know, maybe I was a little jaded towards the end of my Marine Corps career, but I find that officers' careers are more valued than enlisted. And again, that's just an opinion. Just my civilian opinion.
Well, if your criteria is the length of courses that we send people to, then you're absolutely right. We value him obviously more than we value him, because let's talk about it. So as an 0369 staff NCO, let's talk about the schools that you've gone to. Not, I don't want to talk about gun schools or things like that. I want to talk about professional schools. There's a corporal course now, right?
Yes, corporal's course, sergeant's course.
But back in the day, there was only NCO school, right?
It used to be called the NCO school. Yes.
Back in the day. Now they have the separate courses that you would go to. So you would go to NCO school, and then there was what, the Staff NCO Academy?
Yes, which inside that, but all those courses fall under Staff NCO Academy now. Corporal's course, then you went to, career course, which staff sergeants would go to.
Okay.
And for the infantry community, then you can go to the platoon sergeant or infantry leaders course.
Okay.
And then when you're gunny, you go to advanced.
All right. So how long are these courses? Which gets us to the crux of it, because at an officer course, let's just say that your career level course, you know, it could be 41. Would you say 41 weeks?
Yeah, EWS is 41 weeks.
Yeah, six months is standard. In Army, courses tend to be a little bit shorter. So, that's just what it is for an Army course. So, what are the length of the courses? Let's just say, platoon sergeant, if you're an 0369. Platoon sergeant course, how long is that one? And then the staff academy, how long is that?
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, 6 weeks average, 6 weeks for those courses. Except corporal's course was like 2 weeks when I went through it. Sergeant's course, 6 weeks. Career course, 6 weeks. Advanced course, 6 weeks. And then platoon sergeant's course, 6-8 weeks, I think, if I'm remembering accurately. That's it.
And some of the things that you're exposed to, I mean, most of these courses, and EWS is certainly one of them, but, I mean, guest speakers, right? You guest speakers are showing up. You're hearing from people of other MOSs that, you know, support MOSs. You're hearing from sergeant majors. You're having leadership panels with first sergeants, senior enlisted guys. How do you interface? How do you make it work right? All that stuff.
Yes.
And your point is that staff NCOs are deprived of all of that.
I mean, we get a little bit, like, for instance, and I'm just going to speak from my experience, because I'm sure some hard charger out there is like, well, when I went, you know, we had, well.
Let me tell you, he didn't go to a course that was 6 months long. I can tell you that, because it doesn't exist. You're right.
Right. And that's all I'm saying. Like, for advanced course, for instance, I was exposed to, and I went through advanced course at Quantico because I was stationed at headquarters Marine Corps at the time.
Motivator.
we were exposed to, like, how the promotion board works. Like, we had a panel from the promotion boards because they happened to be in session at that time. I mean, that was a really only eye opener for me in advanced course. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, and then how the COCOMs work.
And so really what you have is, you know, if you think of a course, week one is in processing, right?
Yes.
The last week is out processing, right? Everybody's got to get their orders, you've got to have graduation ceremony, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Right.
So if you have a 6 week course, it's a 4 week course. 4 weeks of content.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
And so your point is, to me, well taken. You want me to think that you're serious about my education. And you're gonna send me to school for 4 weeks? Come on, man. Joke.
Yeah, and that's sir, how long? What's the other school that officer command and staff? That's pretty lengthy too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's EWS, and I mean our schools are longer than the Army schools, and there's been discussion back and forth about making our schools like 6 months and or five and a half months and running two a year as opposed to going in. You know, I knew that went to EWS. They started in mid-August and they graduated in May. I mean, so that's, I mean, almost a, you know, 10-month course.
Right.
You know, and they were there with their families. And they had, you know, they learned a shit ton. And command and staff was set up on the same kind of school year, nine month, you know, course. How many 6 week courses can you get in there?
Right.
You can get a bunch of them. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all. I would like to see a premium being put on the enlisted side, education wise. That's all my point is. And I learned this by observing what was taking place while I was up at headquarters Marine Corps. Like, it's just amazing. And then as enlisted, like, and you're happy you get your little, get to go to gunny school or the advanced course. And I'm like, okay, wow. And then as I did research, and officers get to, you know, their course is 41 weeks. And, you know, they come out and, you know, whatever. They got their check in the box and can go on and do bigger and brighter things, I guess. That's all. And realistically, I don't expect every staff NCO to be able to go to, like, say if some big thinker implement something for the enlisted on par with that, but you know your top performers compete to get something like that. I think that'd be awesome and just make the Marine Corps better on the enlisted side.
What? Okay, so let me ask you this: did you ever ask anybody other than bitching at me in an email? Did you ever ask anybody?
I did. I asked my first sergeant when I was at headquarters Marine Corps.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't like his answer.
What was his answer?
Well, his response was, I just worry about enlisted. You know, officers. Officers take care of officers, enlisted taking enlisted. And headquarters Marine Corps. that was hard for me to survive that duty station.
Why?
I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it.
What didn't you get?
Sir, you have a lot of, you know, people are on their way out the door.
At headquarters Marine Corps?
Yes. Not all the Marines, but a lot of them are on their way out the door.
Quit trying to sugarcoat everything you say. Look, I know people might just fucking say it. Okay, first of all, Quantico has two titles, right? One is the Crossroads of the Marine Corps. What is the other one?
I just know the Crossroads of the Marine Corps. I just know that one.
The off-ramp of the Marine Corps.
Okay.
Well, so you got the Crossroads and the off-ramp both going on at the same place, right? And it sounds like you had a fair mix. You had a fair indoctrination into the off-ramp.
No shit, sir, because when I received orders up to headquarters Marine Corps, you know, I'm thinking this is Staff Sergeant Bowie at the time, you know, at Camp Lejeune. I got my little orders to headquarters Marine Corps. I'm like, oh, okay, wow, I'm gonna see where it happens, where the word comes from. And then I got there, sir, and I was like, what the fuck? Because, you know, you're thinking you're at the flagpole and squared away. You know, you're not dealing with, but yeah, lo and behold, wow.
Yeah, fucked up as Hogan's goat, man. And you're looking like, come on now, this is it? This is how it goes? But it's a very interesting fundamental question.
Go ahead, sir.
It's a very interesting fundamental question. Do you value officers more? Because when enlisted Marines go to be educated, we get a little sip out of the hose, and then we go back to work. Can you not spare us out of our jobs? Right? What is the reason that there would be such a disparity between the two?
Hey, sir, I just look at it that a commissioned officer's value is more when we shut off the lights. And that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Hey, first of all, nobody's shutting off the lights, all right? So I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I don't know what part of the Marine Corps that came from, but nobody's shutting off the goddamn lights. No. And so when you do rack and stack the amount of education, what's the longest school for an enlisted Marine? How long is recruiting school? Do you ever go on recruiting duty?
I wasn't a recruiter. I was a Marine security guard.
How long is MSG duty? That's cool.
What, 8 weeks? Something like that.
All right, so there's a 6 weeks course.
Right.
Recruiting school is supposed to be tough. Recruiting school, DI school. Were you ever hat?
No, sir.
Do you know how long that school is?
Well, I want to say drill instructor school is almost like boot camp again. So 3 months or maybe longer, because they basically, I mean, besides learning how to teach and teach drill, they basically repeat boot camp again.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, that's my understanding. I'm sure some drill instructors
going to be writing and hating and on you in an email. I don't know where that devil dog thinks he's coming from, but I'll tell you what.
Right.
I went through boot camp one time. Who is that? Where is he? San Diego Marine. I never liked them son of a bitches anyway.
Sir, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Another thing that I saw when I was at headquarters Marine Corps, for instance, body composition program, right?
Oh, fat. Okay, explain what that is for everybody.
Okay, body composition program is a program that the United States Marine Corps uses to hold Marines to a standard, you know, height and weight standards. And from what I can understand, it's recently changed within the last few years. But basically, it would go off your, what you score on your PFT, CFT, you know, what your height and weight is supposed to be. And then if you're a certain height and you're past your max weight, you have to get taped. Right. And if you fall, and what I mean by taped is a body measurement, neck, waist for males. Females, neck, waist, and their hips. And if you fall out of those numbers, then you're going to be evaluated to be put on the body composition program, which would mean going to see a nutritionist, making blood work being drawn, make sure you're not having the thyroid issue, but to get to the problem why you are not within standards. In a nutshell. But when I was up at headquarters Marine Corps, and this is what I'm saying, the value of an officer's career versus an enlisted career. Like sergeants, you know, after the PFT, they have to come up to the S3 to see me to get height and weight.
Right.
And, you know, professional Marine, I don't care who you are, you know, height and weight you the same. But when officers are out of standards, then my OIC, like, I can't tape them. My OIC has to do that. And then the ones that can't hide or can't make it, well, a folder, you know, gets ran on them, and on unit diary, they get assigned BCP. Well, what was happening was the officers' packages would get, it was made to look legit, but it wasn't. These officers were never put on the BCP program.
So they had a folder.
Yes, it was made to look legitimate.
But there is no, because it's a formal process. Yes,
it is.
And you got to go. You got to go to the doctor. You got to get weighed. You got to get the blood work done, all to be assigned to that program.
Exactly. And then the Marine's name and Social Security number, well, all the supporting documents gets taken down to the admin Marines, and they get a unit diary number, which is entered on them, and in the system, like, you enter that Marine's Social Security number, boom. You know, nothing, like, not to be looked at for promotion.
Right.
Any of that. Boom. Everything stops. But that wasn't happening with officers. The enlisted Marines, oh, you best believe, sir, they were ran. Careers stopped. And when I noticed that was going on, this was right before a IG inspection.
Now you're at headquarters Marine Corps now?
Yes, I'm in the S3, the training. Because for some reason, grunts that get sent to headquarters Marine Corps, you know, you're automatically in the training section.
Because that's what you know how to do.
Right. So, you know, good to go, like a good Marine. You know, I'm going to enforce standards.
Right. Force.
So when this came up during the IG inspection, the major asked me, so how many enlisted do you have on the body composition program? And at the time, I want to say it was
don't even tell me you went there.
No, sir, you asked me. Yeah, I'm going to let it out. And then he asked me, well, how many officers? And I was like, well, officially, sir, there are zero. And I pointed out to him, we can go down to the Pentagon right now with scale and down to the, I don't know if you've ever been to the Pentagon, sir, but where the food court is.
No. And, well, I think I was in the Pentagon once.
Well, I made the point that we can go down there and get some officers, but I was like, officially, there are zero Marine officers. And he's like, well, what do you mean by that? And I was like, well, you're going to have to ask my OIC about that. And of course.
Now, is this conversation going on in front of other people going, oh, shit? Oh, shit.
No, this is going on in my master sergeant's office. Because, you know, it's the IG inspection. But, you know, hey, sir, I'm just keeping it real. It was no surprise. But I made the point of, I was like, sir, I did not know it was Marine Corps order enlisted and Marine Corps order officer. And then he was like, I was a staff sergeant still at the time. He was like, staff sergeant, I understand what you're getting at. And, you know, I'm just going to. You know, IG, they're writing, putting their findings down.
Right.
So, needless to say, you know, obviously the colonel wasn't happy.
With you?
Well, it never came out to me, but with my OIC, you know, of course, because you know how y'all handle y'all shit.
Don't. Why you got to be like, I didn't realize that's where this was going. I hear you want to talk about listening education. Now you just, that was a whole thing as a ruse to get what you really wanted to get off your chest, yo, how you handle your shit. Let me just tell you this, and I look at Abu Ghraib, right?
Okay.
Who did that shit come down on? The senior officers there? No.
No.
Right? Came down on the staff NCOs and the NCOs that were down in the bottom of that goddamn thing, right? In the Paris Island thing that just concluded where the kid jumped off the third deck, right? That gunny got 10 years, right? His battalion commander, who supposedly knew that he wasn't supposed to be training Marines, but allowed it anyway, he was fined, I want to say $2,000, relieved, fined $2,000 a month for 2 months and allowed to retire. That was the battalion commander. The regimental, I don't know, I haven't heard anything about the company commander. The regimental commander, he was given immunity. The regimental sergeant major given immunity, and then I think the sergeant major of the battalion was initially charged, and then the charges were dropped or something like that. Gunny, 10 years in prison in a brig, right? Nobody else responsible. And now just recently here in the last week, supposedly Secretary Mattis got the investigation into what happened in Niger, and he threw out the punitive letter of reprimand that the captain got, and he said, we're the senior officers that were responsible for this. And so it's a problem in the military. And I will tell you this, what kind of message would it got sent? Right. If in addition to that gunny going to the brig for 10 years, if that lieutenant colonel went to the fucking brig for 4,
yeah,
without a tightened up thing, you think some people would have got their asses out of their office and gone to supervised training after that?
Oh, most definitely.
Most definitely. Think some, and if the sergeant major went with him for 4, most right. definitely. And until you bust somebody right in the face like that. And I don't, justice isn't equal, man. Justice, and it needs to be. Because we all, you know, as officers, I remember being in an officer candidate school and somebody saying, you're responsible for everything your unit does and fails to do.
Right.
And I said, whoa, hold on, that's like a little bit broad, isn't it? I mean, like, I understand being responsible for everything I do, but everything I fail to do, like, who, like, where did that shit come from? Whose idea was that? And they're like, what's your name? I was like, Phillips. Phillips is my name. But yeah, that's it. But are we held accountable like that? No.
But you know what, sir? When you even said General Mattis, like, I was like, the hairs on my neck stood up. Because, I mean, you served with him over in Iraq when he was running the show. Mm-hmm. Like, he, as an officer, he was like, no bullshit. Like, holding people accountable. Like, what was his call sign over there, sir? I don't even remember.
Chaos.
When you knew he was in the area, like, you just stand by. Because, like, he just held, at least my observation, just held people accountable.
scared the shit out of him, right? If you, I'll tell you what, you're standing near your company or battalion commander who owns whatever firm base, and the radio crackles, and somebody puts up, radio operator looks up and says, "Chaos is Oscar Mike to this pause at this time."
Right.
He'll be here in 20 minutes. Sir, are you okay?
Motherfuckers, straighten up, boy.
Because well, they knew that he would not hesitate to fire you if right. If your shit was fucked up. But again, I just this system, this unequal system. And I watched, and I've yet to hear an explanation by the Marine Corps of what went on at Parris Island and how this system of justice makes sense. Because last I checked, there was people in charge of people that were responsible to make sure the right shit happened.
Right.
And so, but again, so, interesting. Interesting. Now, the questions, I mean, to me, legitimate. I've never even thought, like, well, why not? You know, and maybe, and I can hear some people saying, well, you know, enlisted, I mean, you know, officers in theory is serving at the leisure of the president, so you can send them to longer school. Enlisted guy or girl is, you know, just, you know, re-enlisted for 3 years. What are you going to do? Send them to school for a year of it? All right, well, make them re-enlist for four then. You'll go to staff NCO, you know, staff NCO, course for 9 months.
Right. And sir, and I agree with you, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, sergeant and below going to something, but I'm talking staff and CO and above. Like, there can be, the Marine Corps can invest more educationally in the enlisted. That's just how I feel.
Do you think they could handle it? That's a lot of free libo time, and you know what happens.
Well,
when the enlisted side of this equation gets too much libo time.
Here you go.
Do I need to roll that one out for you? Because I know you've gone out a few times with your enlisted chums, yes?
Yeah, but...
And that always ends poorly. The cops involved, you know, black dogs running around, cars rolling. Like, yeah.
I think staff NCOs can handle it, sir, because they're staff NCOs out there with degrees. They just didn't go officer.
Well, you know what? That's something, though, that we're a lot different than the Army. And in the Army, you have a lot of guys that have degrees. I mean, they're encouraged to get – in the Marine Corps, we don't encourage that as much.
Right.
We don't – because, look, you're 0369. Oh, we got a job for you. Well, where? Well, we don't know, but it's someplace.
Right.
You'd be putting your foot up somebody's ass. That's what you do in the Marine Corps.
Right. And when we don't go to the field, make sure you're at the Army. Make sure the Marines are scrubbing weapons. Like, really? Come on. Really? I don't know, sir. It's just, I'm telling you.
So if you were queen for a day, or king, right? If you were how would you how would you set up education? Where would you place it? Right. For instance, as an officer, I don't go. I mean, I go to short courses and shit like that. You know, 4 to 6 weeks, stuff like that. Nuclear officer safety course, CAV leaders course, maybe up to 28 days or some shit like that, right? But then I wouldn't go to a real school again until, well, let me just tell you, this is the officer side, and I'm gonna make Gunny's point. The go through officer candidate school, right, and or, you know, boot camp, okay? After officer candidate school, I go to the basic school for 5.5 months. 5.5 months, where I go to an incubator. I learn about leadership. I learn, you know, about being what it is to be a basic officer of the Marine Corps. That's what I go do. 5.5 months, we park their ass to the side, and then after that, you go ahead and you go to your MOS school, which might be another 3 months. So infantry officer course 13 weeks, so there's 3 months for you. So another 3 months. So before you get close to standing in front of a Marine, you've been on active duty for a year between OCS, the basic school, and your MOS school. No other branch of the military invests like that in its officers. Why is there no basic school for sergeants? Why don't we send them to a 4 or 5 month course on what it is to be a sergeant in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, I don't. That's a good question, sir. And, you know, I mean, obviously people are going to, oh, well, they have sergeant's course, which, yeah, roger that. They do. But I just want to see true investment in enlisted know-how in education. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Now, you've given me some ideas for shows. To me, the whole NJP thing is always rubbed me the wrong way. Has always rubbed me the wrong way. And so, if you wanted to see the Marine Corps get tight, send a sergeant major and a lieutenant colonel to the brig.
Right.
Yeah, you'll get. Let me tell you. You won't have to go out and tour the Marine Corps and give a lecture.
You're absolutely correct.
Everybody got that memo.
You're absolutely correct.
So at what rank would you send them to school, and would you have any prerequisites? Would you say, hey, look, if you're going to go to, let's just say we're going to send them when they're staff sergeants, okay? So if they join, let's just say they join when they're 18, 19, it's going to take them how many years to make staff?
Well, what is it now? Nowadays,
now it's fast as shit.
Yeah, it's like 10 years.
Okay, they gotta go. They gotta go before that. Sergeant.
Well, sir, for the sake of what I say, staff and CEO, staff sergeant.
All right. So at 10 years, he's gonna make it a career, or she. They're gonna make it a career at that point, normally. If you've just reenlisted at the 10-year mark, you're a staff sergeant, right? You just reenlisted for 4 years. You're going to the staff NCO basic course.
Right. Yeah, and as they say in the staff NCO academy, yes, you're going to go and you're going to whoop it on. And then when you graduate, 41 weeks later, you're ready to go. You're ready to go.
What about, that would be interesting as hell, designing that curriculum. Would there be any, like, do you need to have an AA? Do you need to have X number of college credits so we can make sure that you can do the intellectual work that we're going to require? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay, I see where you're going. Yes, I mean, there would have to be a weeding out process in that, but that's
I don't like the word weeding out. If you want to go, you're going to have to prepare yourself to go, and it's going to mean taking certain online courses and certain number of college courses. And look, you're going to have 10 years to do this shit, but we want you, this is a good course. We invest a lot of money. We don't want you to go there and blow it out your ass. So,
right.
So we're going to...
Well, sir, that's where these employing these think tanks would definitely help with that. Because these younger people are a lot smarter, I think, than we give them credit for. And enlisted wise, there are staff NCOs, NCOs out there that can do it.
Oh, no doubt. Let me tell you, I mean, the Marines that you led in Iraq and Afghanistan. And back here, CONUS, I mean, when you lead them well, when there's the right environment and they get pushed, what can't they do?
Well, I mean, it's nothing they can't do.
Right.
Because they have the recipe for success, you know, if you're doing it correctly.
Right. But it ain't, let me tell you, if there is no consequences to when they want to act stupid, then you're going to get what you get, whether it's a child, whether it's a student at school in the third or fourth grade, you're just going to get a jackass. And it's not going to work in combat. So I think the Marine Corps is having a little bit of a crisis. We don't know. Added two additional weeks to boot camp, right? So you can hang out with your, you know, with your drill instructor, and now he's going to treat you like a Marine, and it's all going to be good. Okay. I'm not sure where this is going. So. Does that mean I can't yell at you? Does that mean I can't yoke your shit up when you're fucked up? What does that mean? That I have to sit down and talk you into this shit? Do I have to say please?
Right. Well, sir, you know what? And I think we need to examine how, because this whole having to convince people to stay or do the right thing, I don't like it. I don't subscribe to that, and I know the United States Marine Corps isn't the British Royal Marines, but for instance, their training, their entry level boot camp, if that's what you want to call it, they don't try and make them stay. As far as what they do, an individual, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't for me. You know, they sit down and counsel them, like, well, what's your problem? You know, we're going to give you 3 days to think about it. And then, you know, if you still want to discharge or get out, whatever the term they use, you know, come talk. You know, they come back and talk to their platoon sergeant. And then sure enough, the individual doesn't want to play ball anymore. It's it. They process them out, and then within a couple days, they're gone. Gone. Not 6 months later with all this asset bullshit, you know. They're gone. Like, you know, let's invest time in the ones that want to be there and want to, you know, they want to be here.
Yeah, you know, we had this thing. I don't know if you were on it when I was on it, but it's called the Force Preservation Board.
Okay.
And it was about problem Marines. And so you have, it's kind of like being assigned body composition program, right? you're there and somebody's briefing and you're looking at it going, wait a minute, man. Like, this person, alcoholic, depression, UA, and we think we're going to counsel them back into being a fully deployable Marine? Yeah. All right, look. All you all need to be kicked out of the Marine Corps. All right, in addition to that, that human being right there, that he or she is never going to be a full-up-round deployable Marine. What are we doing here? This is not a social experiment. This is the Marine Corps. Locate, close with, destroy. That's us. We forgetting our mission? But I hear that, and it's just like, damn, man, we got to get our – and it seems like we're doing too much of that. And I know a lot of times we'll kind of glorify the way other organizations do it. And say, and then you talk to them, and they say, well, we really don't do it like that. We tell that story, but we really don't do it like that. But it's kind of like that.
Right.
It's kind of like that. So, All right. Give me final words before I let you go. My guest, Gunnery Sergeant, not a Gunnery Sergeant anymore.
Just Mr. Wayne Bowie.
The formerly Gunnery Sergeant Type 0369 United States Marine Corps. Give me your vision of what it could be. And I'll ask you the question, you give me the vision. The vision of discipline in a unit is?
Real simple. You didn't join the Boy Scouts. Shut your mouth, do as you're told, and do it to the best of your ability.
All right. In education, specifically, staff and CO education, what would it be?
Courses would be longer, would make the staff and COs a more compatible companion to their officers, their OICs. And if I'm allowed to elaborate more on that, sir, for instance, when I went to squad leader school, a few of us, I was a Lance Corporal, a few of us went to squad leader school. And when we graduated that course, our platoon was just lethal. Our platoon sergeant was no hand-holding. We knew what we needed to do, and we just helped made our platoon commander's job easier. And it made our platoon more lethal because we knew what the hell was going on. That's it about that one, sir.
And relative to justice, as in UCMJ type justice?
Justice. Don't do it. You know it's wrong. Don't do it.
Got it.
I mean, hey.
No, but it ought to be equal, though. Yes? Are you with me on that?
Yes.
I mean, I think you and I are in the same camp. Like, you want to send a message? You want to do message sending? You want to get battalion commanders, regimental commanders out? Send one of them to the brig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, they have no problem throwing that gunny, that staff sergeant, to the brig. No problem. I mean, like, no qualms of doing that.
It doesn't have to be, look, failure to supervise. How long has that guy got to stay in the brig for? 6 months? 4 months? It doesn't matter, honestly. The fact that he's gone to the brig, he could go there for 3 weeks. Doesn't mean shit. The fact that he's going, you would have everybody's attention. Him and his sergeant major going to go spend 28 days in the brig? Tell you what, there'd be some supervising son of a bitches in the Marine Corps, trust me. They would be off their dead asses and getting it done right. We will hold you accountable. That's the message. All right. First of all, you got to come back and do this again. I love talking. I love just rotating the lens and getting different perspective. My perspective, as much as I, you know, say would like to believe that it's, you know, I'm pretty good at it. I do have a perspective, and it's an officer perspective. So it's always great to have somebody come on and change the perspective a little bit and ask hard questions. So I'm going to get the comment out. I'm going to ask him, hey, why do we send enlisted Marines to school for such a short period of time? And maybe it's worth it that are being stupid when we bitch about it because we haven't allowed them the amount of time and the exposure to the same level that we've allowed a captain. Every captain in the Marine Corps goes to an intermediate level school that will be between 6 and 9 months. Every one of them.
Right.
Why don't we start a basic school class for staff and COs? Send them back to Quantico. Send them to the basic school. We got extra rooms back there. What the hell? We got a course. We got classrooms. We got all kinds of shit. All we got to do is find the enlisted instructors. So anyway. All right there, Mr. Bowie. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
No problem, sir. Thank you for having me back on. I appreciate it.
All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.